Job chapter 25. These are the words of Bildad. Remember that at the end, God says that Bildad and the other friends did not speak of him that which was right. So verse 4, he says, "How then can man be just with God? Or how can he who is born of a woman be clean?" Well, this is actually, I think, the crux in some ways of the book. How can a man be just with God? I don't think it's necessarily the issue of suffering that is the real issue of the book of Job, but how can a man be just with God? Now, he's not engaging with what Job has said. He's actually just repeating the wrong statements of Eliphaz. This is what happens in a group mentality, that people tend to not engage with the real arguments, just repeat the arguments of their friends. And Eliphaz has been saying that the human condition is such that man can never possibly be just with God. But they're forgetting the parameters that God set in the prologue at the beginning of this book, that there was a man in the land of Uz who was called Job, and that man was perfect in God's eyes. And God says to the Satan, the adversary, in the presence of the friends, and I think the Satan, this figure, morphs into the friends, really. God has said that Job is a good man, that there is nobody as upright in the earth as Job. And that therefore the sufferings they wanted to see brought upon him were not because he was not just with God. They were not punishment at all. So they are wrong then to say that Job was not just with God because no man can be just with God, because he was born of a woman, so therefore he couldn't be clean. Well, as I say, this is a wrong understanding, because the whole point is that Job was just with God, even though he was born of a woman, even though he was human. And they are repeating a very common failure, I think, a very, very common mistake, in considering that human nature and we as human beings are so low that we can never be right with God. And there are people who go through life absolutely feeling awful about themselves, even though they are believers of a sort, but certainly not believers fully in God's grace and justification by grace, because they go through life feeling awful about themselves. And, well, if I'm going to be in the kingdom of God, if I'm going to be saved, who knows if I am? Well, that'll be a stroke of luck if ever. And they feel they're not good enough, can't do this right, can't do anything right. And this is unfortunately how a lot of people are. And when those sort of people, or maybe a bit wired that way anyway, get involved with some wrong interpretations of Christianity, they find that that way of thinking is actually confirmed, because they're wrongly taught that basically you're hopeless, that you can't be just with God ever because of your nature, because of who you are. And this is not the case. And why it's not the case is because all that you suggest or posit about human nature, you are saying about the Lord Jesus, who had fully our human nature. Indeed, the words of Bildad here are somewhat, I think, alluded to by Paul in Galatians 4, verse 4, when he says that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. So the Lord Jesus had our nature, was born of a woman, and yet was perfect, was holy, undefiled before God. So he showed us what it is possible to be within human nature. It's not that human nature is a huge burden and saddle that is sort of thrown upon us that forces us to do wrong, and we cannot but be hopeless and unclean. Not at all. Man can be clean before God. This is in fact the whole point of the good news of God's love, of God's cleansing in our time in Jesus, but it was equally possible in the Old Testament. It was possible to be right with God, and if you want an example, well, Job, because at the beginning of the book, God states this, that Job was just and right with him. So it is not so that you cannot be right with God. This is just not so. Now, of course, you cannot be right with God in your own strength by simply avoiding sin because you're so steel-willed, not at all. But you can be right with God by faith in God's love, in believing that he does see me this way, and if he sees me that way, well, that is all that matters. Now, Bildad goes further, verse 5, even the moon has no brightness, and the stars aren't pure in his sight. And several times, Eliphaz also speaks of a kind of force of darkness. A couple of times, they talk about how even the angels aren't right before God, as if there are sinful angels, and that even the angels and the physical creation is somehow cursed and unclean. Well, these were all the equivalent of the modern ideas of Satan as a personal cosmic being with demons and sinful angels. The Bible doesn't teach that. If this is the first time you've encountered that view, you can have a look at my stuff at realdevil.info and you'll see a bit more explanation there. But the point is that God is all-powerful. All the angels are obedient to him. They all obey him. And I think that's why at the end of the book of Job, we're reminded that at creation, all the sons of God, all the angels, sung for joy. They were all obedient. And the idea of sinful angels falling, being chucked out, landing on the earth, this is all the stuff of paganism. This is not taught in the Bible at all. So their whole negative view of themselves extends to their view of the whole of creation. And so he says, verse 6, if angels, the stars of God, can't be pure, how much less man who is a worm, the son of man who is a worm? Now, Bildad's plain wrong here, because Jesus was the son of man, and he was clean before God. And, of course, he is specifically called a worm in a couple of prophecies. In Psalm 22, verse 6, which is a psalm that's quoted by Jesus about himself on the cross, he says that there on the cross he felt as a worm. But of course, he was far more than that. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. God was thrilled with his ultimate act of obedience in his death on the cross. Likewise, all this is relevant somehow to the exiles, and I've suggested that the book of Job was rewritten under inspiration to encourage the exiles. So in Isaiah 41, verse 14, you've got the same idea. Fear not, you worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help you. They who were in exile needn't think that they were in a spiritually and physically hopeless situation. Fear not, you worm Jacob. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are red, the modern versions generally say red as crimson, but the word translated crimson is literally the crimson worm, the worm that is used for the dye that makes crimson colour. So though your sins are red as the crimson worm, they shall be made white as wool. So this is the great encouragement, that the lowness of man is no barrier to being clean before God. Nor is it a barrier to being revived and being used by him. And as I say, Job is the parade example. There he is. We're told at the beginning by God himself that Job is just and right with him. But the friends forget that. They forget those parameters and go on about how can man be just with God? How can he who is born of a woman be clean and man is just a worm and nothing? This is not so. True biblical Christianity reveals, I think, more than any other religion, the huge value and meaning of the human person. And of course, we are asked, therefore, not to curse man, we're told by James, who is made in the image of God. If this is the value and meaning that God applies to every human person, well, this is how we should treat others. We ought to treat people as if they have no meaning, as if there is no value in the human person. It's this sort of attitude that, humanity is just like a worm, humanity is unclean, how can man be just with God, they're all unclean. It's this mentality which leads to all kinds of abuse. It leads to putting people in gas ovens and just eliminating them. It leads to all sorts of attitudes to people, to persons, which are abusive, because the value and the meaning of the human person has been forgotten, has been overlooked. And I'll leave you with one last thought. It is a lot easier to actually believe this stuff about, you know, human beings are just dirty, unclean, can't be just with God. It's easier to believe that because it's less intrusive, it's less demanding, than to believe the truth in this matter, which is that no, you can be right with God. You can be clean before God, as Paul says in Hebrews, the conscience even is cleansed in Christ. Because, of course, that makes you raise your eyes, raise your horizons far higher than the immediate trudge through life, looking at only what's in front of you. And when you think about yourself in real spiritual terms and salvation at the end of the day, no idea, you know. That's the way of no faith. Just grabbing hold of a false theology about the supposed uncleanness and wrongness of man by nature to justify that. Whereas, if you start to perceive that the Lord Jesus was our representative, he was not God himself, he was human. He had our human nature, although he was the Son of God. And he was perfect. He showed us what was possible through being human. And that is an endless challenge. Now, that is far harder to believe. It's far easier to just shrug and say, oh, no. Jesus was God. He was a different case to me. I'm just a crummy little human. I'm unclean. I can't be right with God. My life is just trudging through this tip, as it were, on which we live. And it's all pretty bad. It's all pretty dirty. And will I be saved? Well, I hope so, but I really don't know, and I doubt it somehow because I'm such a bad guy, always do what's wrong. I don't get it. I'm just so hopeless. I'm a hopeless case. You see, that is the way of least resistance. That's the easy thing. That's not humility. That's lack of faith. The way of faith is to rise above that, not hide behind any sort of insincere, crawly, creeping Uriah Heep kind of humility, but to say no. I'm not like that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made, in fact, in the image of God. And how can a man be just with God? Well, yeah, that is the question. We can be just with God through faith in his grace, the grace of imputed righteousness, which now, in our age, is explained to us in the work of Jesus.